Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A button on a phone, which when pushed, slapped me in the face. And then we got that worked out, and once we did that, we brought in a couple of our stalwarts, and we just got it put together. And thank you for waiting and for your patience and for a fun deal. We always are here on the weekends. We're almost to the weekends, but I'll tell you why. It feels like the weekend to me because I I'm offering something that has been one of my don't touch that. That's what took a while to get ready. Let's see. It took us a while to get this all together. But anyway, what was I talking about before we took a spade on that? Or a green? 260.
We have a guest.
63.
We have a guest.
We do.
Don
in the
Clement
studio?
Is in the studio.
In the studio.
Kind enough to come and visit in the studio, and we're having trouble getting on.
That is not a problem. Very happy to be here today. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that everybody's happy.
Don is a neighbor, sort of, not of
a
ours.
A neighbor?
Not of ours, but of the radio station. He works nearby and sent an email saying hello and talking about, what you have a YouTube channel, right?
Well, the YouTube channel is pretty much geared toward my business, which is not really all that interesting.
I don't know. I think I'm fascinated by it.
Have you taken a look? Because it's kind of crazy.
Oh, look, I've got three of them.
No,
I'm not kidding. I have one in my office.
Tom doesn't even know how to do YouTube. But
isn't that nice?
Anyway, here in the financial industry, right?
Yes, we. I sell
I know nothing there. Yeah.
It really,
that's
again,
sure.
Very boring. Third-party verification services to banks, mortgage companies. That's why I'm a foodie, to get some sort of, outlet.
Relief from that.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, you mentioned that you have just returned from two of my favorite places in the world, Rome and London. And so I thought I would ask you, you said you would like to meet at some point. And so I said, well, great, because those are two of my favorite places. How about this week? So that's why you're on, to talk about traveling in London and Rome and places that you might have found, because people do travel there a lot, and I thought maybe you would like to share some of your experiences.
Sure. No, we had a terrific time. It was actually our first time in both cities, so we did four nights in each. I would have liked to have stayed more, but work does get in the way of that, and since it helps.
Oh, don't you hate that?
I do.
The way that happens.
My daughter and I have this conversation all the time, because I don't know how long you've been listening. But she and I will just fly into some place and rent a car and just take it. And so we've done that in Germany a few years ago, in the UK and Ireland, and most recently in Central Europe. And so we love to do that, it's like. But we talk about this all the time, because I say, do you want to go? And she goes, Mom, what you don't realize is I have a job.
Well, that's how we afford to do these things.
Drat.
Yeah,
that's right. You do.
But it's so much easier today, especially out of our airport. I mean, there are so many direct flights. You can do exactly what you said. Pack a bag, grab a passport, and you're out of here.
Absolutely.
So it's
exciting.
So
where did you go in London? Let's start with London, because that's...
Did you go to the Loring?
Oh.
No, that's not the name of it, is it?
No, it's not. Yeah.
What is it? Goring?
The Goring.
The Goring, yeah.
No, I didn't
Poor
go
Tom.
To the Goring.
Yeah, where were you in London? Like, what area of town?
Well, we were downtown. I'm definitely a lot in common with both of you guys, and I'm definitely a hotel snob. I have a philosophy, if it's not better than where I live, it's not worth me going.
Totally agree.
So you will love this, and you need to Google.
Why do I know that?
You'll need to Google this, Marianne. We stayed at the Langham in London.
We love the Langham. Langham's like a.
That's my favorite.
Like our favorite place.
Have you done the Club level yet?
Oh, every day.
I love it.
The club level at the Langham in London, no. At the Langham in Pasadena, yes.
The house champagne, which I must say flows very freely at the Langham, is Perrier Jouet.
Well, you know, club is worth every penny. The club thing is worth every penny.
It is.
How much more is it at Langham in London than just a regular room? What's the upcharge?
It's 240 euro per day.
Well, that's substantial.
It is, but what you get with it, I mean, there's a lot of different amenities, and it's very nice to be able to crash.
Yeah, absolutely. The club is worth it, but that's pricey. 300 some odd.
It is. But you know, one never knows when one may get back there.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. I go by that Seals and Crofts song. We may never pass this way again.
Enjoy it while you can.
And that's a great location, right at the end of Regent Street, isn't it?
It was perfect. Regent Street is beautiful, especially when it's lit up at night. It almost looks like it's just popping off of a screen. That's how beautiful it is. Lots of shopping. Food is great. It was a great city. I loved
it. Where did you eat?
You know, probably my favorite place in all of London was an Indian restaurant that's been open, goodness, I think it said 93 years. It actually has...
Really?
Yeah, one Michelin star.
Veer Swanee,
yes.
Oh, that's where we had lunch.
No, that's where we wanted to go to lunch, Tom, but you didn't want to walk that far. So we went to... We went to Chutney Mary, which is their sister restaurant in Soho.
How was that?
It was fine. I would have preferred to go to Veer Swanee for two mm-hmm. reasons. One, because it's an institution, because it's been there for 93 years, and it has much more of that, you know, the colonial Indian vibe to it.
Right.
Chutney Mary was hip. It was really hip. It was good, but it was hip. And we hit it at a time when it was just like a happy hour, so we mm-hmm. didn't really get to experience, you know, the lunch or dinner thing. So a snack.
Next time you decide to hop on a plane across the pond, you do have to check out Veer Swanee. It was just delicious. It was over the top.
I plan to.
Over the top.
Well, we considered Veer Swanee. My daughter and I several times and didn't go. She's not hugely into Indian, but yes, Veer Swanee is on my list and I absolutely will be back. Now here's a question for you, and you, if you've been listening for 30 years, you better answer this yes.
Nothing like a little pressure.
You did make it to Fortnum and Mason.
You know, we talked about it and I knew I was going to regret it that I didn't, but we crammed so much into every day. We actually had private guides so we could get through things a lot quicker, which I will...
Your private guides didn't tell you needed to go to Fortnum and Mason?
No, he kind of told me...
Don't?
Yeah.
They told you...
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but he was great. He was a retired history professor. I'm not sure. He was amazing. And I would urge anyone, if you can get a private tour somewhere, take the private tour. We skipped every line, walked through everything. Yeah. And the history that he gave us while we were waiting in queues, while we were waiting to get in some place, was just amazing. I never would have gotten that backstory had we not done that with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was great. Would you say, Marianne, that you'd probably compare like Mary Chutney to a Saffron and Veer Swanee to, why am I losing it here, on Metairie Road, the Indian restaurant on Metairie Road. Where am I going?
Taj Mahal.
So would you think like that in that regard?
I do not have that kind of depth of knowledge of Indian restaurants.
They've got me, after all.
Because I don't really seek out Indian. I like Indian. I like it well enough. It's not my go-to cuisine.
Gotcha.
When we were in London a couple of years ago with Tom, we went to a place not far from the Langham, actually, and had you gone to the concierge at the Langham, they probably would have recommended it, because they recommended it because it was in Marylebone. And it was just maybe 8 or 9 blocks north of the Langham. Mm-hmm. And it was an Indian place that I can look up, but it was family-owned. It was really good. It wasn't hip. It's like a neighborhood cafe, Indian food. And it's like a neighborhood stalwart, you know, and that's where we went. And then Tom and I went someplace near Harrods, probably 10 years ago. So I haven't done a lot. Oh, you know where my daughter and I went? We went to Dishoom. I'm sure you've heard of Dishoom.
Yes.
Did you go?
We didn't because there was a fire, a kitchen fire.
And oh,
it was,
really?
Yeah, and it was closed, and they
weren't
sure.
They have like six other locations.
They do, but where we were, it was just, it was easier just to go there versus one. Uh-huh. You know, with four nights, you've got to pick your battles.
You do. You absolutely
you
do.
You have to pick your battles.
You
so.
Absolutely do. But next time, pick Fortnum and Mason.
I will do that. I knew it was going to
be great. Well, I think I saw a bright little little place where I could jump in and say a couple of things just for a second.
Sure.
This Varaswamy place. It actually, the chef there actually has a New Orleans thing happen to him.
What's that?
Remember, I don't know if you're old enough.
He was mugged?
No. Do you remember Jonathan, the restaurant?
Yes, yeah. I do. Mm-hmm.
Well, very, very fine restaurant with great art and just mm-hmm. a great place. Mm-hmm. Well, it ultimately closed. And somewhere along the way, the chef who had been there at Jonathan became very well known to the guy from the Varaswamy, so he named a number of dishes after Varaswamy right here in New Orleans.
Hmm.
Interesting. How do you like that?
Interesting.
There's always a connection.
There really is.
Yeah, to be sure. Okay, there's a place in St. James which I think might have closed after 275 years.
Wow.
Yes, and I'm going to try to think of the name of it, but it's actually right in the neighborhood of Fortnum and Mason. Tom's favorite place is Rules. Did you go there?
No, we didn't. I should have made a reservation there because I have a friend who had gone several months ago, and she told me, do not miss it. Of course, I missed it.
But. It's the ultimate old fartery. So that's two things on your list.
Two, I'm adding them. I'm writing them down.
Missed.
That's okay.
Two don't misses that you did in fact opt to miss.
If
okay.
I'm breathing,
go ahead. What else?
If I'm breathing, I will go back. I will make it.
Okay. So what else did you do?
We did the theater one night just because I'm one of those thespian geeks, and I had to see the Phantom where it was created, and that was amazing. Uh-huh. So there was a place that the concierge actually recommended called the Ivy. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of...
I remember that somehow.
It looks sort of... It gives you the feel of Mr. B's with the green leather and mm-hmm. all the booths and the marble. And it was good. It was... The menu was very different. I mean, this was typical English fare, so it ran the gamut. It, you know, common things such as the, you know, the pudding and all those things to the kind of obscure. But it was good. It was open late night, so it fit the bill. It was nice.
Or was it Marylebone?
It was off of Piccadilly Circus. You had to go down that way.
Okay. We did that too. Piccadilly Circus.
We did Piccadilly Circus more than a few times.
Yeah. So it
did
was.
Did you do anything in Covent Garden, my second favorite neighborhood?
If I did, I don't know that I did.
Okay.
You know, the problem is there's so little time and so much history. You know, when you
did
walk
you go to the tower.
Oh, of course. Yes, okay. We did the tower, and we. Off with everyone's head, apparently, but we were there, yes.
Did you go to the Borough Market?
Yes. Yes, I did. I love that.
Love the Borough Market.
Yes, we did that.
Did you eat anything there?
Not really. No, okay. we were kind of, you know, again, kind of ripping and running there. Mm-hmm. I would say the other really standout restaurant that we ate at was actually on my birthday, and that was at the Hawksmoor. And it's a pretty straightforward steak place. It's not frou-frou at all. Mm-hmm. And it was... They did a Chateaubriand.
Very British.
It was delicious.
It was
excellent. Where was it? You know, that's a good question because when you get in these cars, you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
And
was that recommended by your guide?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, okay. That was recommended by the guide as well. Mm-hmm. My wife preferred London, which I thought I would prefer London to Rome, especially because I'm a big city guy. That's what I like. That's what I'm used to.
Yeah.
But I loved London, but I fell in love with Rome.
Everybody falls in love with Rome.
Beautiful. The people.
Tom, did you fall in love with Rome?
Yeah. In fact, I've got an album here by Sinatra about that.
Falling in love with Rome?
Uh-huh.
Oh, but we should take a break. Wait, you know what? Stay there, Don. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
We're gonna we don't have a break.
No break.
Oh.
Well, you know what? There's another sense in which there is a break, and that is I have a sitting on the stovetop.
Yeah.
I think we have somebody at home.
I checked it.
You checked it? And in it is the famous or the yeah the famous
the makings
the,
for
the makings of Tom's root beer ham.
Yes.
And when I left, it was just simmering.
Yes, I turned it down. So
okay,
it's still simmering.
So it's not going to burn or anything.
No, it's
like
not going to burn.
All the pieces
it's
are
not
there.
Burn.
Did you get any? Did you get any?
I got it.
Mustard?
No, I'm sorry. You know what? I went to Target. I didn't have. They didn't have it.
No,
anyway,
no,
back
no
to
mustard.
Rome. So Tom, what's your favorite London? I mean, your favorite Rome meal?
Oh, that one that Chef Duke found for us.
Yes.
That was kind
Alla
of.
Rampa.
Yeah, Alabampa, that's the name
that
of it.
That was a great trip.
That was a great trip.
All right, so did you have a private guide in Rome as well?
Yes, we did. Yes.
Okay.
That's the only way to see the Colosseum, the Palatine Hills. Otherwise, you're just going to miss it. I saw everybody walking around without a guide, and they're just looking at all these, for lack of a better adjective, hunks of rock. And mm-hmm. They don't know what they're looking at. So, again, yeah. That was well worth it. And of course, the pasta in Rome is so, you know, everything's fresh.
Ubiquitous.
Everything is just,
yeah.
Oh, it's just
now, where
fantastic.
Did you stay? Since you're a hotel person, where did you stay there?
The Regina Baglioni Hotel, which is
okay,
directly, directly across the street from the U.S. Embassy.
I like all my pasta to be Baglioni.
Yeah.
If I can.
Did you like the Baglioni? Because we almost stayed there in Milan, but we didn't. And also in Venice. But did you like it?
I liked it. But you have to consider that it's definitely not London. So their idea of being metropolitan, their idea of a five-star hotel in Rome is quite different from the English. So
absolutely.
It was a very nice hotel, really Art Deco. It had just been redone. Mm-hmm. Room was beautiful. Everything was beautiful. And I just thanked God every day that we had air condition.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Because
okay.
It is hotter than here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Hard to believe.
It is. All right. So where else did you eat in Rome?
I think my favorite, we did do one upscale meal, which was pretty pricey, but it's called Casa Capelli. And it is outside of the Piazza Navano. Okay. And it's odd to say, since I'm in Rome, I'm eating lamb chops, but definitely some of the best lamb I've ever had. Not a dessert eater. And they brought out this chocolate that was about the size of a tennis ball, I'd say. And when you crack the shell open, it opened up with this beautiful hazelnut type of light cream.
I love their hazelnut.
Oh, it was, you know, it was great. The pizza, what else can I say? When you go... You do find that when you walk through Rome and you go from restaurant to restaurant, typically all the menus are basically the same. So you really have to ask where to go because, you know, are you walking into a tourist trap? Or are you walking into somewhere where...
You know, there are specialties of the place.
Mm-hmm.
And finding those, I think, is a good idea. Not all of them. You know, you don't have to be enslaved that way. But there are plenty of dishes... that finally, I mentioned the one that Chef Duke found for us when we were wandering around. But you know better about this than I do. Those little BBs of black pepper,
cacio e pepe.
Cacio.
Oh, did you have any cacio e
yes,
pepe?
I
say yes. To
I
that.
Did, and like, it was fantastic.
Okay.
It's it comes across like just a cheap little.
Now that's
little
the official
BBs.
Dish of Rome, cacio e mm-hmm. pepe.
Oh gosh, that's you cannot stop eating
you
that.
You can't go
no.
there without having
it
some
is
cacio e pepe.
Wonderful.
I don't even eat ice cream, and the gelato is just you know that was just fantastic.
Yeah,
and I'm not a big ice cream fan either.
Yeah.
We were lucky. We have a friend of a friend who is actually a wine purveyor. And he lived in Rome for about 10 years.
Ah.
So he gave us a list. Matter of fact, I'm going to email you this list.
Oh, would you please? Because I definitely am going back to Rome.
Well, and he's got it spelled out expensive. This one's famous for pasta. This one's famous for seafood. All the way down to pizza or sandwiches that you would get outside of the Vatican. So he really did a good job. We took his advice. One night we got into an Uber and we were just driving and driving. And I'm like, where are we going? And when we
I've got the perfect person for you to travel with. This one over here.
Holy
moly. Let's why don't we jump in that huge vat of
this is why
lettuce.
Tom and I never travel together. We never travel together unless we have to. Anyway,
well,
go ahead.
If you don't get off the beaten path, you never know what you're going to find.
Well, that's the way I feel. My big thing in travel is serendipity.
Right.
And this is why I don't do tours, and this is why I don't have a guide. And I'm sure that is a wonderful, way to do it. But when you have only a limited amount of time, you have to sort of choose your travel style.
Right.
So what we do, my daughter and I, is we just land and just walk, and or we drive, and if we see something cool, we stop and we, you know, experience it that way. It is definitely a unique way to do it. Most people do plan way more than we do. But I've done it both ways. We've had the driver, we've had the, you know, and we've done it this way. And I don't know, it just kind of suits, it kind of suits my personality. I walked in here about 2 or 3 minutes late, and had we been on the air and not been trying to get on the air, I would have announced, it's a good thing that I am an adrenaline junkie, because that is how I live. So, you know, I love the idea. Like, if I had a month over there, I would definitely do that.
Right.
But really what we do is, it's good because we have the same travel style and we have the same interests. So mm-hmm. we're into architecture, and we go and look at cool buildings and stuff like that. But you're definitely, I mean, if you can do the private tour, that is absolutely a great way to do
it. Well, I just think that we saw a lot more than we would have seen had we not done that, because they were all a very good, they knew how to use the time well.
Yes.
And they knew how to budget and where to go first, where to go last, and what to see.
Always good to be with an insider. Yeah. Always good.
So we wound up, and it must have been 10 o'clock at night, and it was actually, I didn't realize
it. The shank of the evening.
Right. I didn't realize that it was actually near the Vatican until I went back and looked at his notes, because, you know, once you're outside of the Vatican walls, you really don't see. So it's a place called Il Pensato. Okay. And when we walked in, we were obviously the only tourists in this restaurant.
I love that.
It was fantastic.
Yes.
It was just so good.
I'm very proud of the Fitzmaurice family racking up what I call the stare. You know,
yes.
When we're in some place where we're the only people that aren't known there, and it's like, what are you doing here? And I love that. I'm sort of like, I wear that as a badge of honor. That means I mm-hmm. found some really good stuff.
Yeah, and it was. And those were definitely the best places. I mean, they were just awesome, and it was a great trip. It was a very expensive trip. That I'll give you.
Oh, well, yeah, I think we've seen that before.
Yeah, the rooms. Tom, let me ask you something about
Wait.
VAT taxes.
Before you talk to me about whatever it is, I do want to talk to you. I think we do get into travel, because the two things are, you know, they do come together.
You eat when you travel.
You certainly, you have no choice.
One of the highlights of your trip.
It certainly would be. And Marianne is here today to add to that and to
And also
give
we have Don Clement on the phone.
Don Clement?
Who is a neighbor.
Where'd he go?
Of
I'm
the radio
here.
Station. No, he's, huh? he's here.
I'm
he's right
where?
Here.
I'm
going
to anyway, we're talking about Rome and London, two of my favorites, and mm-hmm. We're just talking about food and experiences. But first, let's talk about Porter and Luke.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And Luke.
Had lunch there today.
You don't have to go all the way to Rome or London for delicious food. You can do it right on Metairie Road.
You can. My favorite way to beginning is to have their
turtle soup.
Turtle soup, which is great looking and very fresh. And it has a flavor. There's a word I'm looking for that's not coming into my
reptilian?
Hand.
Reptilian?
No, it wasn't anything like that. It's a unique flavor coming from different directions than we're used to getting. Just the recipe that they've come up for this place is quite different from any I've ever had. So if you like turtle soup,
real
try
turtle
the one
soup.
At yeah, real turtle
real
soup
turtle
over
soup.
At Porter and Luke. But they that's just the beginning, and they can put a really fine menu in
a
front
good
of you.
Wedge salad.
The wedge salad is the first one I saw.
Three wedge salad.
When I saw that, I thought, I can think of five people off the top of my head who will love that. And
me and who else?
And Uncle Dan.
Four other people. Yeah. There are three little wedges, one with crab meat ravigote, one with shrimp mm-hmm. remoulade, and one yeah. with fried oysters in their three-wedge salad. They have a great club sandwich. They have a good, served with homemade chips. They have a good hamburger, fried chicken, meatballs, and spaghetti. You get the idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Great comfort food.
Local cooking.
Porter and Luke.
Moderate prices.
That's right.
My wife and I actually,
too.
And a little bit more than the average imagination that most restaurants have.
Yeah.
They They you will taste things that you have never even thought about.
It's good, good, good. You should go out and check it out. They also are open for Sunday brunch now. Porter and Luke, 1517 Metairie Road in Metairie. So back to Don Clement, our guest, who is stopping in to actually, he is not very far from the studio, so he's at the studio, and we are at home.
We actually stopped by Porter and Luke today for lunch.
You did?
And it was delicious. Yeah,
it is delicious.
We had the we started with something that I very rarely eat because it's good, and I'm at the age where I should not be eating this.
Yeah.
What is that?
The fried chicken livers.
Oh, yeah.
Delicious.
Fried chicken is not a kid's dish.
Livers were delicious.
But kids like it,
kids
too.
Love it, but it's but they
just like your mom made, huh? It's got that same kind of quality.
And it was an awesome Cobb salad, beautiful piece of grilled chicken, avocado. It was very good. The service there is always great. So
they're adorable.
Very nice people. Nice place.
Servers.
Nice place.
Yes. We love it. Okay, so back to Rome now. Where else did you go? Where'd you have your best cacio pepe?
You know, I don't think the last time we were there, we even had it anywhere.
Cacio e pepe.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
it's not a trip to Rome for me if I don't have cacio e pepe at least twice.
And you know what's so amazing is when you get this dish of this rich, beautiful sauce, and it's so simplistically made, just with the cheese, the pepper, and some egg. It's just
amazing. Have you ever tried to make it, though? You think it's easily made.
It is not.
But if you try it, you will see it's a nightmare.
It is. I have tried it, and it was, I guess for lack of a better word, it was gloopy. Is that
gloopy.
A word?
Yeah.
Now, that's a comic strip.
It was just ridiculous. We tried it, and it came out like this ball of wet cheese.
That was my
experience. There is definitely a technique to it, and if you don't have it, don't try this at home, folks.
No, definitely not.
Wet cheese.
I did have a question. I had a question for Tom, because my wife and I discussed this while we were in London and in Rome. Oh, you know, there are so many Michelin star restaurants there.
Oh, they certainly seem to be having some evidence of spreading out that a little bit.
So I think they're lowering their standards.
Could be.
Why don't we have, I mean, am
why don't
I,
we why don't, pick up the slack or?
Well, I guess why don't we have any? Do we have any Michelin star restaurants here? Because if they did,
we do have one.
Yeah, because. No,
I have no excuse for
they're
that.
They're big into Asian. I'll tell you that. There's a bunch of them in the Los Angeles area. They're all Asian. They're all Asian or really bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
So, like everything else, Michelin has gone hip.
Mm-hmm.
You know when they are actually from there, it's Michelin.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way French people speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going back, because I did miss one in London, and I think it's Houng, and it is on
Hutong.
Hutong, yes. And the food.
Did you go? You went or you didn't go?
Oh, I went, definitely.
Okay.
In the Shard. In the Shard. Oh, the food was good. Yes, very good. I mean, it wasn't extraordinary.
I was about to say, was it good or did it just blow you out?
No, it was good. It didn't blow me out. Now, the view from that restaurant, they keep the lights, of course, dim so you can see it. It is, you know, the Shard is gorgeous. I mean, it's a beautiful building and you can see for miles. So you were really good. You were going for
the
view.
Both. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And it is very pricey. And, you know,
it always follows the...
We were trying to decide if we were going to go to Hakkasan or Hutong, and decided to do neither and to just go into Chinatown and go to a regular Chinese restaurant.
So where did you wind up in Chinatown?
We wound up at the Girard Corner. Literally, that was the name of it.
Really, the Girard.
It was at the corner of Girard, which is the main drag in Chinatown.
Uh-huh. Was not
and
much
that
to
was
it.
The name of the restaurant, Girard Corner.
There's not much to the Chinatown there anymore.
Now, you see, I was going to say that I thought it was pretty good, the Chinatown there. Mm-hmm. But see, I'm not, it's not New York's Chinatown, but New York's Chinatown is scary to me.
Well, Frisco has its own issues now. But
And I've been to that one, too, and it didn't make as much of an impression on me. Maybe I don't pay that much attention to Chinatowns, but I liked the one in London just fine. You thought it was kind of sad?
No, I didn't eat at the one in Chinatown. I just thought it's very small. I mean, it's not that many streets. When you think of San Francisco, you think of New York. I mean, you're going through blocks and blocks and all these mom and pop places. And
The one in New York is really kind of like being in China. I have to go back there. I mean, last time I was in New York for any length of time, when was that? I think that was 2008, and we actually lived there for the summer. My kids, because they were doing stuff there. Mm-hmm. And that cured me of New York forever and ever. And so I have only been back to New York, stopping in very briefly. And I haven't been to Chinatown in that long, so 11 years.
Wow. No, I would imagine living there for a month would, that's got its own challenges.
It was surreal. And I'm not saying that in a good way. I understand why half the people are running around screaming at no one. I get that.
Mm. Wow.
So that is a takeaway.
Not my kind of place. Let's just say that. I know there are lots of people who are crazy about New York, crazy about it, and that's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know?
And we ought to know because New Orleans is not for everybody.
Yes.
They're for darn near everybody, but when you come to New Orleans, you have to be open for something that's off the trace.
It's an either or kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So in Rome, what was your favorite experience that you had there, and your favorite meal?
I think the one in the suburbs at Il Panzano probably was, just because it was so simple. I mean, they brought out a small charcuterie board that was just over the top. It was just so good. The cheeses, everything was delicious. The pasta, again, incredible. I don't think you can get a bad pasta in Rome.
You can.
Yeah, I guess you have got to look. Have you? Really? Yeah. I miss them. I got good pasta.
Well, good.
I got good pasta.
You can.
But
anyway, go ahead.
It is quite the foodie city for sure. It is quite the... I keep going back to London. Now, you said you went to Harrods. Did you go to Selfridges?
Yes.
Harrods can be daunting, can't it? Harrods is just like... I felt like I needed to leave breadcrumbs behind me so I could figure out how to get out.
You do.
It's crazy.
Absolutely.
But it was good. It was good to see. You had to see those things.
I would go to Selfridges more if I could stand Oxford Street, which I can't.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy.
Oh, well, that's life.
That's so, great. It's kind of busy.
Not much Selfridges, but Harrods, once you do it once or twice, you know, you've done it.
It's out of your system.
Yes, it is out of your system.
Yeah, I kind of felt like that. It's like, okay, been there, done that, let's go.
Yeah.
You know,
so. Fordham & Mason, on the other hand, is number one on our list whenever we go to London.
I am going to write that down as my list of regrets from this trip.
Oh, okay. Well, you can regret another day more.
Yeah.
My feeling about that is if it's good enough for the Queen from 1707, it's good enough for me.
It's good enough for you. Tom, I did shoot you those pictures of my...
You shot me?
Of the Wellington last night.
This is the food show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. I've just been shot by... No, I haven't. I really have not. Don't go running around looking for it. Our number is 260-6368.
Yes, if anyone has a question for Don Clement, our guest, we are talking about traveling abroad, and he has just come from London and Rome, two of my favorite cities. And if you are heading there, and a lot of people are or do... give us a call or give him a call. I do hope you're going to send me that list because I want it.
Yes, I actually have one here. I can leave it with Ronald or I can email it to you. Either way.
Okay, you can leave it there but also email it to us.
Yeah,
that's probably the best way. There is a Din Tai Fung. Are you like into Asian food? Is that?
Yeah, I just like all, you know, Moroccan, Indian, Greek.
I'm barely able to hear you. Are you okay?
Me or him?
Him.
I turned the that higher.
Okay, no, that's a little too hot.
Okay.
How about back it off just a little bit. Okay.
All right.
There we go. Okay. That's better.
Okay.
Thank you.
Better.
You can get, fish and chips. Did you have
fish and chips? Yes, we did.
London?
We did fish and chips one day, and they were good. It was.
Where did you get them?
I don't remember.
There's a place,
we just stopped by.
We're going to go ahead and take a break. 260-6368 if you would like to talk. I want to come back and talk about fish and chips. We'll be right back.
Do-do-do.
Curds? You're talking about poutine? All right, let's go back to Don Clement, our guest, who's talking about his trip to London and Rome. So
and enjoyed it quite a lot.
Yes, we did.
I gathered that
how
anyway.
How could you not?
Oh, you can. You know, there are people who cannot bring themselves to have a good time no matter what they
really?
Try.
I know more than a few of
that's
those.
That's you, isn't it?
Huh? That's me. Isn't that nice? I have to listen to this all day long.
So pizza. What was your favorite pizza in Rome? Did you find any place really great?
Yeah, pizza? Oh, absolutely. Pizza. And, you know, the smaller the place, I found the better the pizza.
Hmm.
So, I mean, we just would tuck and duck into these little holes in the walls and have pizza, and it was just fantastic. I mean, nothing, of course, like we have here. There are, of course, you have the two different styles. You can get that thin Napoli-type pizza, which I prefer, with that
which
crisp
just
crust.
Up the street, too.
And you're right, it is. Or you can get the focaccia pizza. So it's two totally different textures. On focaccia, on bread.
God bless you.
But, you know, you decide which one you like, and one day you have this one day you have that one. And by the end of the day, I was covered in red sauce and gelato anyway, so it really didn't matter.
Yeah.
Life could be worse.
It's great to walk along. You know, my favorite pizza in Rome is in the Campo di Fiori, in the corner there. There's a place called Forno, which, of course, half the place is Forno. But that little Forno in the corner of Campo di Fiori is... to my taste, the best. It's the long pizza where they, you know, slice it and weigh it by the kilo and put it in the paper and you walk around eating it.
So which brings me to another question, and perhaps one of you know. I know we live right on Julia, right by, you know, right around the, right next door to Pesh. And I hear that we are getting a pizza restaurant from Rome.
Oh, yeah?
And it's going to be...
We already have one.
No. It's going to be the only one outside of Rome, and it's going to be owned by and I can't remember the name of it. I bet if I Google it, I can find it. But they're going to sell the pizza the same way you just talked about. They're going to cut it with the scissors, put it on the scale, and that's how you buy the pizza.
You know, if they weigh it by the kilo, I'm going to say no. Sorry.
No, I hope not. That'll give us a lot of confusion. But hopefully, the neighborhood's just. Exploding.
Have you been to Sofia?
Yes. Love it.
Do you like it?
Love the pizza, especially there, yes.
I do, too.
I think it's very well. It's a nice place, too.
Pasta's great, too. Mm-hmm. Is it busy when you go in there?
Yes.
Okay.
And when we go a lot for lunch. I work from the house, so and my wife's a school teacher, so if she's off, we'll go grab lunch, and that's a go-to spot. You know, like I said, the neighborhood is just on fire. I mean, we've been there 5 years now, and we've witnessed so much change in such a short period of time.
I sure wish I still live there. I used to live at 729 Camp Street, which is right around the corner from where you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the dumbest move I've ever made, is to move out of there. It was really in the middle of everything. That whole neighborhood just gets better and better and better.
It is. There's always something new. And it's so nice to be able to walk out of your front door and just walk somewhere. And it sort of reminds you, if you take advantage of that, in being in Rome or being in London, where they're both such major pedestrian cities, only because you can't drive, it's so crowded. But that's a great feeling.
Well, there is that problem. But
the difference in that and this is that everyone's walking there, and not many people are walking here.
Right.
They're not?
No, they're not.
We try to.
I mean, there are more people walking than used to be walking. Hey, what was that thing you sent an email that had your anniversary? Happy anniversary, by the way.
Thank you.
Your anniversary dinner. Now, this is an ambitious, you talk about romance. This is an ambitious cook here, Tom. He showed pictures of the Chateaubriand. Was it Chateaubriand? Beef Wellington.
Beef
Wellington.
Right? We made with a Chateaubriand.
Okay.
The cut of meat.
Yes. And what was that bread thing that had the rosemary on it? That looked great.
So that was, you know, that was...
Of the oregano.
It was store-bought pastry. You buy it in the freezer section. Because, look, I'm very ambitious, but I'm not foolish enough to begin trying to make my own puff pastry. That's something that I'm just going to skip.
No, I'm not talking about in the Beef Wellington or the Chateaubriand. I'm talking about it looked like an appetizer. Or was that it?
That was it.
Was that it before you cut into it?
Right. So you
I see.
So you prepare the meat first. You make the duck cells, which of course is finely chopped mushrooms, onions, thyme. And then you put that on top of the prosciutto. Then you roll the Chateau in that. You put it back in the fridge for about 30 minutes. Then you take it out, put it in the puff pastry, and then you brush it with an egg wash, pop it in a 500-degree oven for about 10 minutes, take it out, let it rest, and that's what you've got.
It was beautiful.
That was because of the sous vide. I love my sous vide. if I use it for nothing other than to make the perfect steak, it is perfect.
That's
every
what
time.
Everybody says.
I use it to warm up coffee.
To warm. I've heard it's a great way to poach eggs as well, but I haven't done that yet.
Okay, this is a good question that I was going to ask at Bordeaux. The eggs, they have a half-sliced egg on the side of their salads, and it has a unique texture that I find incredibly appealing. And my daughter said, you know, I'll bet you it was sous vide.
Probably so. Yeah. Most restaurants, that's especially large brunch spots, that's what they're doing now. That's how they hold the eggs, because you can pretty much hold it indefinitely at whatever temperature you set it at. Not advisable, but you could.
Don, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much for coming on.
And, I enjoyed it.
I want that list, okay?
I'll leave one here, and I will get a copy and email it to you as well.
Okay, great. Thank you very
much. Thank you,
guys. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks for stopping in.
Thank you.
Well, we're creaming up to the news here, and then after we get into that,
another hour.
We will deal with it and learn a few things here and there, and then we will continue with the food show here on 105.3 FM HD.
Two.
I always
New
get
Orleans.
That. New Orleans, WWL
like
Radio.
Yes.
Where the news is next over most of these same frequencies from CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. And what do you want me to
That's
do?
That's it, 260-6368. If you would like to talk to us, call us at 5 minutes after four.
But we have another whole hour, don't
we?
We
do. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. And stay tuned. More of the food show are coming.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.